Hoppa! Oh! That's awesome! Hi, you guys! Here, pull up a seat. Wow, it's good to see you. I was supposed to be back with you last year, but I got attacked by the most vicious animal in all of Africa. It was a mosquito. Literally, I've been to Uganda, I think, 40 or 50 times. I never take the malaria meds. Who needs them? I got malaria. Almost killed me. I ended up in the ICU. I just got the a bill a month or two ago. It was $140,000. I don't think it's covered. There goes my Prius. But I got thinking, you guys are 105 years old. I mean, what a fun celebration. I think you need candy. Like, don't go knock on strangers' doors. Come to Friends Church. Like, you guys, there's something beautiful that happens when we celebrate and we understand how much time that we have. I wrote this book, Love Does, a while ago. I put my cell phone number on the last page of the book. And there's literally 1.5 million people that have my cell phone number. And I still get 100 calls a day. It's terrific. I can't get a thing done. And because I don't send people to voicemail. And there's something beautiful. Jesus was available to people. And I'm not Jesus. I just want to be like him. Don't you? Literally do that. Just don't send anybody to voicemail for a whole week. Literally, you just following Jesus means a life of constant interruptions. And if this is going to wreck your life, you don't have to change your ringtone to a rooster crowing on the third ring you've denied Christ. It's like that. We only got a little bit of time. This woman called me. See, I answered the phone. She goes, oh, thank goodness you answered. I'm like, oh, honey, what's up? She said, I heard you were dead. I'm like, lady, tell me you're not looking at a newspaper dated tomorrow. But it kind of got me thinking, how much time do we have? Like, literally, I brought this thing. Honey, how long are you going to live? What age? How long are you going to live? What do you think, 85? Okay, maybe 84 tomorrow. Okay, well, let's go with 84. Literally, this ain't happening this side of heaven. And I'm 58, right? So, this already happened, rats. This is what we've got. Literally, less if you don't take your malaria meds. But what are you gonna do with what you've got? Literally, who are you gonna spend time with? How are you going to give your life away? Literally, I got about 6 or 7 inches. Don't boast if you've got 8. Literally, some of you got about 1/4 inch if you came here for the time the church started. But one of the things you do is, what are you going to do? You know who I've been spending all my time with? Sweet Maria Goff. She's terrific. You know what? We could not be more different. Literally, I'm like Tigger. I want to be around people. I'm like, people! And she's like Wise Al. She thinks having me in the room is a lot of people. So when we got married and they said that two will become one, she thought we were going to become her. I'm like, oh, heck no. But I'm not trying to be like her, and she's not trying to be like me. We're trying to be like Jesus. I mean, we got this much time left. I'm just like, this is our time to practice. And the way that you practice being like Jesus is to love everybody always. Say it with me. Love everybody always. One more time with attitude. Love everybody always. And start with the people who creep you out. Because loving me is easy. Loving Matthew, that's low-hanging fruit. You want a report card on your faith? See how you love the people who creep you out. Literally, I've spent my whole life avoiding the people Jesus spent his whole life engaging. You know why? I didn't want to get any on me. And the simple message of the gospel is this: get it on you. Get it all over you. And you know what? You'll end up just looking just like Jesus with whatever time you've got left. We live in San Diego for 9 months out of the year and live in Canada at the end of this inlet for the other 3 months. Our nearest neighbor is 10,000 square miles away. This is what this inlet looks like that we live in. It's just beautiful, surrounded by all these rocks and mountains. And we actually go mountain climbing up there and rock climbing. I mean, with a body like this, who wouldn't, right? And so what I've learned is a thing or two about rock climbing. And what I've been doing is practicing belaying people. And so I'm going to, you come to church, you got to learn something, right? So I'm going to teach you how to belay somebody. Here's the deal. Here's how you tie a bowline. It's this. Jesse James breaks out of jail, kills the guard, they round up the posse, and they head out of town. That's a bowline. It'll save your life. You tie a slip knot, it will cut you in half. And what will happen, get it right, and what will happen when you're belaying somebody is that you're pulling them up and you can bear their weight, but you gotta be tied in to the rock. It isn't enough just to be sitting on the top pulling up the slack. Like literally, I want to talk this morning about getting tied right back into your faith. Like tied back in, not just looking like you're tied in, because it doesn't matter what your faith looks like. It matters what it is. And people who are tied into Jesus, they can actually bear the weight of other people. I climbed this rock with a friend of mine, Jack. I got to the top. I was so stoked that I made it and didn't die. I'm like doing the moonwalk. Well, I threw the rope back down to him, tied it around me, and started belaying him up, or so I thought. And I realized when he was halfway up the cliff, oh my gosh, I'm not tied in. And if he fell, he would have hit the rocks down below, and then it would have pulled me over, and I would have hit him. And so one of the things that I did, I just said, Jack, find a place that's secure and get your footing while I tie back in. What a simple message for us. And whether you've been hanging out with Jesus for 20 minutes or 20 years, literally tie back into the rock. And the beautiful thing about being tied in, you got me on belay? Literally, when you're tied in, you're going to actually bear somebody's weight. And if we just look like we're tied in without actually being tied in, ain't going to work. It's just going to, both of you are going to be taken out. You guys, tie yourself back in to Jesus. Remember the first time you touched knees with somebody you liked a lot? Remember, like, Remember you like, this is it, right? Well, like, I think it's Revelations 2:4. It says, here's my problem with you. You forgot your first love. Could you just do, if you lose your car keys, what do? You think, where did I see them last? Do that. If this morning you've lost your joy, if you feel like you're going through the motions and you're here at church, but you aren't tied in, just tie back in again. There's a whole community of people that want to just do the same thing that's happening with my friend over here. They just want to bear my weight. That's what church is about. It's about a community of people that understand who they are and what they're doing and why they're doing it. I wrote this Love Does book a while ago, and I was supposed to write another book, but I kind of never got around to it. I'm getting all these registered mail from the publisher. They're like, where's the book? I'm like, whatever, sue me. I can write a bad book in a weekend. But I actually finally finished it. It was 65,000 words, and I went up. There's this mega church pastor. He used to be down here in L.A., and he moved up to San Francisco to hang out with 20 felons. He literally just didn't want to spend 5 seconds with 10,000 people. He wanted to spend 20 years with 20 men who'd been through some hard stuff. So I go up and visit him and all of his felon friends every once in a while, and I was inside visiting him. I brought a couple friends with me. We flew to San Francisco, rented a car, went over there. Well, while we were inside doing some dishes for him, somebody actually broke into the van we had rented, and they stole everything. Literally, they took our luggage, they took our wallets, they took our phones, they took my laptop, and it had the book on it. Get this, it wasn't backed up. iCloud, who needs it? It's $1 a year. Like, well, here was the problem. I got back to the airport to fly home to San Diego, and the guy, the TSA guy, said, like, who are you? I'm like, well, Bob, of course. And he said, well, prove it. I'm like, dude, I got nothing. It's an interesting question. Then we Googled my name. And I remember Love Does just has balloons on the front. I'm like, rats! Next time I'm going to put a picture of me. But it's an interesting question. Who are you? I was in Jerusalem, and there's this famous church. And on the wall next to the church is this sign. And it says this, no explanations inside the church. I think that was for the tour guides, but I'm like, that'll preach. If you want to know who you really are, here's the deal. See how you're loving the people who creep you out. Like, literally, forget who's in the Oval Office with the launch codes. Your Oval Office is a circle 30 feet around you. Now go love everybody inside that. Fill it with people who creep you out. No pointing. Like, literally, because here's what the deal. I might be one of them. Literally. And how you love me will tell a lot about who you actually are. Paul wrapped it up really beautiful in Galatians 5. He said this, the only thing that counts is your faith expressed in love. And it's not that Jesus wants you to do a bunch of stuff for him. I talked to him before the service. He doesn't need your help. What he wants is your heart. There's a lot of people that are trying to be like Jesus's lawyer, and they argue about all this stuff. And here's the, I'm a lawyer. I win arguments for a living. But I'm not trying to be Jesus's lawyers for two reasons. Number one, he doesn't need one. Number two, most of you aren't good at it. Make your faith simple. Don't make it easy. Make it simple. When somebody described what it meant to follow Jesus early on to me, to be tied into the rock, it sounded like this math equation. It was like this really complicated thing. And I was like, oh my gosh. And they're telling me all these words in different languages and all that. I'll tell you, it's this simple to love everybody always. I have a really orthodox doctrine. And that's it. And man, if you get that right, you get everything right. I'm on social media and I'll send a tweet out every once in a while. And I actually got a new follower on Twitter. Check it out. I checked it out. He only has 21 followers. I'm like, wrong Jesus. But here's the deal. I keep telling everybody I'm following Jesus when really he's following me most of the time. And when you get that backwards, you're not tied back into the rock. It's time to just retie, to figure out who are you and what do you want and why do you want this stuff? It's crazy. There's a young guy that calls me about every 3 weeks and he just cusses at me. I'm a lawyer. I thought I knew all the cuss words. Evidently, there's new ones. And we've never gotten to what he's mad at. But I finish the conversation the same way every time. I tell him, I will always take your call. I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to be Jesus. The way you get tied back into Jesus, tied back into the rock, is to love everybody always. And start with the people like that young man. This idea of following Jesus means this. It's we got a new puppy. We're having so much fun. We're trying to housebreak it. The only thing it's missed so far is the lawn. Like, I'm learning about what it means to just engage in the world by watching this puppy. Here, check this out. This puppy showed me a jump. Like, that is a jump. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It means to just go with abandon into the world. You guys, find your first love again. Go after it. Like literally, those of you know men, you're married, or when you had girlfriends, you got to pick one or the other. Don't have both. Like, but just that thing. Oh, you guys, find your way back and let others find their way right here. I love that there's going to be this celebration happening. That's just beautiful to the community. You don't have to tell people everything you believe. Show people everything you believe. It's not just enough to invite people to church. We got to welcome them when they get here. There's nothing that says you're invited more than the Statue of Liberty. Have you seen that picture? Where's the Statue of Liberty? She just says, you know, just you're invited. You're well, get over here. Bring your poor, your weak. Just sneak in here. Whatever. Get over here. Have you ever seen her face up close? Check it out. It's just a very angry French woman. Like, who are you? Actually, you guys, I think I figured it out. Oh my God. But here, we got to get tied back in to start seeing people for who they're turning into. Not all the people that they've become like in the past, who like all the mistakes they've made, but actually who they're turning into. And it's crazy. There's a beautiful way to do that, and it's to know what Scripture says. Literally, you want to get tied back in to the rock? You actually got to know what the rock has to say about stuff. There's a beautiful verse in Mark 12, and it says this, like, the mistake you make is that you don't know the Scriptures And so you don't know the power of God. Man, we only have this much time left. I just want to know what the scriptures have to say about things, don't you? Like literally, and then when somebody gets it wrong, don't be Jesus's lawyer. Listen, if we're burning other people's opinions down, it doesn't make you right, it makes you an arsonist. Literally, you don't have to protect baby Jesus anymore. Read Revelations, he's out of the crib. There's something beautiful that happens. You're just right, you just delight in that, but do all of it. When it says to love your enemies, don't just say, well, you love yours. I don't want to love mine. They stink. But it's actually to realize that I'll find out more about my faith. I'll find out more about who Christ is. I'll be more tied back into the rock if I actually obey some of it rather than just agree with all of it. And there's something that crazy that happens inside of us when we don't like cut and paste out the scripture. There's a guy who actually did that. It was Thomas Jefferson. He came up with this. It's the Jefferson Bible. You know what it is? It's just the parts he agrees with. Isn't that awesome? It's pretty thin. And when we're not tied back into the rock, when we don't know what scripture says, then we'll just start getting all the parts that are easy. And I think Jesus wants more from us. He wants us to just know him so well that we're willing to just dive into scripture. And listen, I'm ADD boy. I make coffee nervous. I'm like, I haven't had a quiet time in 20 years. Mine are super loud. And what I do is I'm just trying to make my faith simple by knowing what scripture said and then doing it. I'll tell you something. I'm a little eccentric. Are you guys picking up on that? Like, drives Maria nuts. You're like, no coffee for you. I've got pants, just like all you guys do. And if I want to hang on to something, I put it in my right pocket. Do you know what? Something funny about me? I've got no left pockets. No suits, no pants of mine have left pockets. Literally, if I put my phone in my left pocket, literally, it'll end up in my shoe. It's like a bad magic trick. And here's why. Your faith and mine is the sum of everything you're hanging on to and everything you're willing to let go of. Literally, it's that simple. What are you hanging on to this morning? You had some hurt, so you were wounded deeply. Somebody broke your heart. You looked at something you shouldn't have been looking at. You got some like relationship on the side that nobody knows about. And you're just ashamed of it. Don't have a Bible study. Stop. Like literally just full stop. Skid marks to a stop. Move it from the right pocket, the stuff you're hanging on to your left. You won't even know it's gone. I go to restaurants to have dinner and I put my car keys in my left pocket. They're just gone. I take Uber home. The same thing will happen to you. Tie back into the rock. This is, you get this do-over. That's the simple promise of Scripture, that you're new creations. I've spent 58 long years with all the previous versions of me. But new Bob, I met him 4 hours ago. I want us to have that new car smell, like this new creation smell, and forgetting the stuff that lays behind, Philippians 3, and pressing forward to the things that are ahead. And if your past is hanging you up, you've got this secret, you're just this dark thing in your past that you don't want anybody to know about, do you know what Jesus calls you on your very worst day? He calls you beloved. And if you're not hearing the word beloved spoken over your biggest screw up right now, it ain't Jesus talking. Tie back into the rock. Listen, we got that much time to just get this thing right. Just tie back in and figure out some of the things, the most important things. And here's the question. Jesus always asked people, what do you want? He asked blind guys all the time. They're like, I'm blind. And Jesus said, what do you want? I can picture the guy saying like, I'm blind. So what is it, people? What do you want? And if you want a Porsche, just get it out there. I want a Porsche. You're not getting one, but just get it out there. Quit making it look like you're on belay. Actually, be on belay. And the more that you want the things that Jesus said he wants, like the more you'll understand what it means to actually follow him. Matthew 25. I mean, when I meet Jesus, I want to ask him about like Yosemite. Like, how did you decide where all the waterfalls go? And what's the deal with Half Dome anyway? Where's the other half? But Matthew 25 says, the only thing I want to talk to you about is this. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was sick, and you comforted me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in jail, and you came. Like, that's it. Hungry people, thirsty people, sick people, strange people, naked people, and people in jail. That's all he wants to talk about. We are not going to be spending eternity singing Chris Tomlin songs. We're going to talk about hungry people, thirsty people. So go do something about it. I go to In-N-Out Burger. I'll get 50 burgers. Literally, and I'll just start driving around San Diego. I'll say, like, are you hungry? And God will say, yes. I'm like, have a burger. I don't ride like Jesus loves you. If you've had a double-double, you know he loves you. I'll have little bottles of water, and I'll say, are you thirsty? They're like, I am. I'm like, have some water. I'm like, thirsty people. We've got a nude beach in La Jolla. I just stand at the top of the cliff and throw socks over. I'm like, naked people, quit waiting for a plan. That's the plan. Love everybody always. And who are we starting with? People who creep you out. Right? The ones that you spend, you go like, oh my gosh, if I actually do that, we got to know what we want. I'll tell you one thing I want constantly. Literally, there's not a day. I don't want, you could put that on metal shavings. Like, but part of tying back into the rock is deciding that you want Jesus more than all the other options. There's a beautiful moment where all the disciples have kind of split from Jesus, and he turns to Simon Peter, and he says, are you going to leave too? And I love Simon Peter's answer, but where would I go? If we eliminate all the other options with the 6 inches we've got, hey, then all of a sudden all we've got is just to be tied into Jesus or not. Don't feel guilty about it. Just feel good about this and know what you want. We took all the money from the Love Does book, and we just gave it away. It cracks me up. We build schools, and my worst subject in school was school. But I'm actually pretty good at starting them. So we started one in Gulu. There's 1,000 kids at this school, though. It's crazy. It's a city. We built 38 buildings for them. We're going to go next week because I've been trying death penalty cases against witch doctors who do horrible things to young kids. 1,000 kids a year are sacrificed by witch doctors. But I'm taking this idea of loving my enemies seriously. So I try these cases, but I also started meeting with witch doctors. I've met with more than 1,000 of them so far. And I asked them, what do you need? And they said, we don't know how to read or write. So guess what? I started a witch doctor school. It's so creepy. These guys are little, they make little dolls that look like me and stick stuff in it. It's crazy. But we're teaching them how to read and write. Next week, I'm flying back over. I'm taking the malaria meds. And we're going to graduate another 100 witch doctors from witch doctor school. And the only Bible, the only books they have in witch doctor school are the Bible and Love Does. You guys are reading their textbook. But there's something beautiful that happens when we start engaging the people that we've been avoiding, and it starts changing in us. There's a young man. His name is Ivan. Ivan's parents were killed by the Lord's Resistance Army. And you know what he wanted to be? He wanted to be an artist. But here's the deal. He didn't have a paintbrush. All he had was his hand. This is Ivan. All he had was a spear and a bedsheet. And so what he did, he would mix the paint in his hand. And let me show you what he made with a spear and a bedsheet. Can you throw that painting up there? He made this. Is that crazy? Instead of thinking about all the things you need to get what you want, what if you go with what you've already got? Don't say, I'm going to start giving as soon as I got all the 401ks. That day isn't going to happen. Tied back into the rock, you got this much time. Instead of saying, I'm going to store up love like a reservoir, say, I'm going to give it away like a river. And if you get that part, man, you just get everything right. But are you willing to do what it takes to get what you want? That's really the question. We have been doing some stuff in Mogadishu, Somalia. We have a school and some safe houses over there. It's crazy. Well, this young man wanted to go with me. We were in Mogadishu a week ago today. And this young man wanted to go with us. We were going to fly in food for 55,000 people that El Shabaab has surrounded out in the desert. They're trying to starve them out. No cars in or out. So we just thought, hungry people. So we loaded up. We found a guy with a cargo plane. We literally chartered the plane. You can put 55,000 people worth of food. We flew right over the heads of the El Shabaab and landed on the sand. What could possibly go wrong? Well, this young guy wanted to go with us, but here's the deal. He had dreadlocks down to his waist. I'm like, buddy, you step off a plane in Somalia looking like that, they'll shoot you in the face. And then they'll shoot me in the face because I'm with you. So do you know what this young guy did? He cut off all of his dreadlocks. Like, he looks like he works at IBM now. Here's my question to you. Are you willing to do what it takes to get what you want? But you got to know what you want before you can do what it takes to get it. So what do you want? And there's something beautiful if you know you only got this much time to say, like, so what do I want? How am I going to go after that? This guy, he had this Viking burial with his dreadlocks. They're still burning with all this nasty stuff you have to put in them. But one of the things that happens, he came along to Somalia with us. This is the flag of Somalia. Literally, he came along to this place. And what we've got in Somalia is a bunch of these young men who've been El Shabaab fighters. They literally, these men were sentenced to death by firing squad. And we got them together, and we're literally teaching them how to read and write. And there are creepy guys, too. Love everybody always. Like, Jesus values them just the way they, and I get it. I'm a little creeped out, too. But I'm not trying to just go Jefferson on it. I'm not just going with the easy stuff. I'm going with the simple stuff, to love everybody always. This young man, his job was to go into the Bakara market with a vest with dynamite on it and detonate himself. And so he called his mom on the way into the market to say what he was going to do. And she said, if you blow yourself up, you know what I'm going to do after you're dead? I'll put a curse on you. I love moms. And he took the vest off. And this kid is literally learning how to read and write right now. The power, moms, the power you have, dads, friends, the power you have to speak truth into people's lives. It's crazy what will happen in their lives and in yours. Just say true stuff, and then find your first love. Find that whimsy. Jesus was with a couple of his buddies in John 17, and they're arguing about who gets the big seat next to him, and he said, I'll tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. I thought you just pray a prayer. Evidently, there's more. It's a childlike faith. And so you know what we did? It was 4 days ago. We took these young men out surfing in Mogadishu. I've never heard of anybody surfing in Mogadishu. What's cropped out of the picture is 20 guys I hired with machine guns. And here's the high point where it made sense to me why we're doing what we do. I helped this kid catch his first wave. And what I saw in that kid wasn't somebody who was going to do something devastating and evil. I saw a kid with a bright future. And I think God sees that in me and you. When we're tied back in to him, we start seeing things differently, but God will let us go through some difficult times to get there. You know, in the Midwest, they plow these fields, they turn them over with these discs over and over and over between the crops, and these discs go down 16 inches. Do you know what forms 17 inches deep? It's called a plow pan, and it's hard as concrete. And we keep coming to church, turning over the top 16 inches, and Jesus just says, if you actually want your limbs to go wide, your roots have to go deep. And here's what they send through those fields. They send through this thing to rip through the plow pan. And he'll do that. He's done it in your life and he's done it in mine. Remember I told you about this place in Canada that we've had. This is this lodge. We brought 32 different country leaders up there to like sign peace agreements. It's been crazy, you guys. It's just been this amazing place. It took me 22 years to build it. And before everybody leaves, they climb underneath the table and they sign their name. Good guys, bad guys, Supreme Court justices, everybody. And there's something beautiful that happens when it's Acts 2 and 4 where they break bread together and they have things in common. Well, we were finally done building this thing. Finally. And I hired 8 guys to spend a couple months up there putting one last coat of stain on it. They were there for 2 days. And they took 2 oily rags and put them together by mistake and burned it to the ground. It spontaneously combusted. You guys, it's erased. And I stood at the edge of this thing with Sweet Maria, and man, we were just filleted about it. And that's happened to you. It was a dream, it was a relationship, it was a career, it was something in your past, and it just burned down. And there was a woman who I think was still working on her people skills a little bit. I'm sure of it. And she came up and she said, Bob, the reason that God burned down your lodge is he wanted to show you his power. I wanted to scissor kick her in the neck. I'm like, what? I've seen a ladybug and been dazzled. You didn't need to burn down my home. But I think the reason God allows some of these things to happen is to show us his presence, that he's with us. Emmanuel, right? There's a beautiful verse in the Song of Songs, and it says this. Well, not that verse. That's an awesome one, but there's another one. It says this, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Could you just say it with me? My beloved is mine, and I am his. Don't make your faith complicated. Get back to the simplest version of it. Is there more to your faith than that? You bet. Don't worry about it. Just say, I'm yours, you're mine. Maria Goff won't fly with me in this old Beaver seaplane I've got for all the reasons you guys have hung out with me and you wouldn't either because I'm really easily distracted. Are you picking up that? I'm like, squirrel. So every year on our anniversary, we go for one flight and we fly up to a lake and we'll have a soda pop and say, let's do this again. Well, we got back to the dock and Maria got out of the plane and she left a note for me. It said, meet me at the cabin. I'm like, yes. So I'm running to the cabin. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And you know what she'd done, you guys? She'd saved her wedding dress for all these years. Could you put that up on the screen? Check that out. Isn't that awesome? And I'm emotionally incontinent. I mean, I cry at everything. And all I could get out was this. My beloved, I am yours, and you are mine. And I think we've all had difficult things happen to us. I mean, when the lodge burned down, Maria was just, it made me sad, but it took her out. And she gave me permission to share this with you guys. We went to a counselor, and the counselor asked her, what was the hardest part about having the lodge burned down? And she said it was the only place on earth that I felt safe. And you guys, we weren't talking about the lodge anymore. We were talking about a guy 40 years ago who did something horrible to her. And he's long since dead, but I'd be tempted to dig him up and kill him again. But I told Marie, you know, if it took our lodge burning down for you to get real with some of this stuff in your past, I would have lit the match myself. You guys, do whatever it takes to get tied back into Christ. Whatever you need to move from here to hear. What a great place. What a safe place to do that. You got a whole community of people that want to help you. They want to bear your weight. They want to point you towards Jesus. Well, I got to wrap it up. You guys, thank you so much for making me feel so welcome here and so loved. God bless you. Can I just pray for you? Let's keep our eyes open, could we? Like, we get to spend eternity together. I want you to know what I look like. Anybody seen Bob? Anybody? Jesus, be with each man in this room. Make him strong. Make him courageous. Make him just like you. And be with each woman in this room. Make them strong. Make them courageous. Tell them what they want. And make them want you more and more. Jesus, you don't want a speech from us. You just want us. Our beloved, you are ours, and we are yours. And that's it. In your strong name, amen.